Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Musings. I have a good friend, James Whittaker, on the podcast today. He's just released a book and movie with the same title of Think and Grow Rich Legacy. If you've ever read the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, you know what I'm talking about, but it's effectively a 2018 version of the legacy of how it's impacted so many people's lives from there. So James has also got a massive vision and a lot of advice. I really enjoyed this podcast with him. I know you guys are going to enjoy it as well. So we're going to get stuck straight into it. I told an amazing joke, so you'll hear him laughing straight away. The joke was that about coffee or something, but you'll figure it out. Anyway, enjoy the podcast, guys, and you'll find where you can buy his book and his stuff in the show notes below. All right, enjoy.
I just had one, mate, an hour ago, so it's like you made me one in spirit, mate.
Perfect. Hey, guys, welcome back to another episode of Musings. My name is Dave Nixon. I have Mr. James Whittaker, the great, on the podcast today. Thanks for joining me, mate.
Mate, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Now, we're going to get stuck into a whole range of interesting things today. Well, I'm going to find it interesting anyway, so at least I'll have one listener on my end, promised. But if you can help just give a brief background on yourself and the accomplishments that you've had, I suppose, and then I'm going to give everyone a bit of an insight into how we, you know, romantically met and go from there, if that's cool.
It all started with Tinder.
Yeah. No. Was it Grindr? No.
Something ending in ER.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I grew up in Brisbane, so I spent 10 years in financial planning there after university and just enjoyed that 10 years in the personal finance world, but I just felt the urge that there was more for me, or just in a bit of a different way. Like, I wasn't destined to spend a whole life in finance. So I ended up moving over to America. So I'm actually in LA now. That's why we're dressed very, very differently. Dave's in a beanie and
I was trying to go for the winter fashion, but yeah, I'm not wearing pants, but that's fine.
Neither am I.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's my view now over the Santa Monica Mountains. There's a bit of a change of pace, but so I've been over here in the last 6 years living in LA and have been involved in a number of entrepreneurial ventures in everything. So CrossFit and activewear and social media, and most recently is co-executive producer of Think and Grow Rich, The Legacy, which is a brand new film based on the Napoleon Hill book, Think and Grow Rich, which is the best-selling self-help book of all time. And I'm also author of the brand new book, also called Think and Grow Rich, The Legacy.
That's Think and Grow Rich. I mentioned it to you before, and we've talked about it before, because I remember you telling me last year when I caught up with you in LA. By the way, I'm next to mechanics, so you're going to hear all strange noises. Well, mechanic noises, not other like weird noises, but
it's vibrating.
Yeah. Well, it keeps my bum warm. No. Fuck, this is going to go anyway. The book that I had, I told you, this was the first book that I actually purchased. I purchased this and a book called The NLP Workbook by Joseph O'Connor, I think his name is. And I haven't finished the NLP Workbook, by the way. I purchased it 10 years ago, whereas this one I read when I was 19. And there is my little OCD with all the tags and everything. So Think and Grow Rich was my first influence into being like, I'm allowed to think whatever I want. It was like, I remember sitting in my bed at the time and I was working at a gym called Flames Fitness, and I was managing the three gyms. I was 19, and the boss was very much boss. And so it was very much do your work, so to speak. No real free thought. And, you know, I was just trying to, I suppose, make money and impress girls at the time, and I wasn't doing either. And I remember sitting there and I read the book, and I was just like, so I'm just allowed to think whatever. And it was just such a strange realization that, obviously, looking back, it's like, well, duh. But a strange realization that the thoughts that I carry and the thoughts that I choose to be true carry so much impact. And clearly that's been a...
you ran out of sticky notes, mate. Yeah.
I think I bought a couple of packets, to be fair.
What a profound moment in your own life for everyone who has that realization where they can actually think whatever they want, because it's those thoughts that ultimately become our beliefs, and it's our beliefs that determine our actions. So by the time that you actually abandon the limiting beliefs that all of us have had, we have evolved to have these limiting beliefs growing up via the people that we have hung around and the things that we have done, and just that what's become human nature to stay in our comfort zone and gravitate towards instant gratification. That light bulb moment of being where, hey, I can think as big as I want, and even think as big as you want, and then think 10 times bigger than that. That's what these people do. It's what everyone did in the original Think and Grow Rich. People like Andrew Carnegie, Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, the absolute titans of industry and the wealthiest people who ever lived. And it's exactly what people like Grant Cardone and Bob Proctor and Rob Dyrdek and all the amazing people in my new book, Think and Grow Rich, The Legacy, it's everything that they were able to do. So making that first step to say, hey, I'm not shackled by this limited conditioning that was programmed into me. I am responsible and I can at any stage draw a line in the sand and take ownership of my life. It's such a powerful moment.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing how many, like how much our parents, right? And if not our parents, then other adult figures have an influence on our thoughts and the way we think. It's like, well, my mom always taught me to yada, yada, yada. Or my dad always said, you know, this, or, you know, my nan was always such an, whatever it is, insert generic, usually generic, every now and again, it's quite profound, but generic sort of influence there. And the interesting thing is that so many of those thoughts that people are walking around with today actually came out of surviving during a depression. They'll pass down generations of like, that's how you need to survive, is to eat everything on your plate because there's starving kids in Africa. It's like, making me fat's not going to make them healthy.
That's right. And Bob Proctor, who a lot of people might know Bob Proctor from, he was the face of the film and the book, The Secret, that was a huge phenomenon in 2006. So Bob Proctor grew up in Canada, and I didn't realize this, but Canada was actually one of the first countries into the Second World War as a Commonwealth force. So while the Americans were sitting at home just seeing how it all played out, all the males from all the people who were fit to fight went off to war. So all the women who were left back looking after the kids, their biggest focus, and obviously a lot of people didn't make it back either. So the biggest focus, as you're talking about, that was prolonged from the Great Depression and the Second World War, where, and of course the First World War before that, where the biggest goal for people was to put food on the table.
Yep.
And when we were talking about like our very first thing that we spoke about around those limiting beliefs, well, that might be, it is a limiting belief, but you're actually just capping your growth potential. If your goal is to put food on the table, it seems weird to think that you would ever do anything more than that. But
yeah.
Bob Proctor, the biggest turning point for his life was when he realized that he wasn't constrained by that thinking. It's when he started to build out a team below him where he could actually outsource a lot of the responsibilities that he was doing. And at the time he was running a cleaning business, and he said he actually ran himself into the ground purely from exhaustion from doing all this stuff. And he got woken up by a crowd of people and a policeman who told him to move on. And a voice came to his head and he said, if you can't clean one office, don't clean any of them. So while he was recuperating, he got a team of people to take over the responsibilities. And I think it was 2 years later, he had cleaning contracts in six cities in the country and as far abroad as the UK as well. So it was a very, very important moment for him. And of course, there was a lot more for him on Think and Grow Rich, but certainly for him, it was a very defining moment in his life when he broke free of that putting food on the table mindset that, as you said, so many people have just a legacy limited belief today.
Mm, absolutely. It's interesting from my own experience, my similar one to the belief that you're talking about, Bob was referencing. It was in my probably early 20s, so a couple of years after I read Think and Grow Rich, that I remember thinking, and it occurred to me, it's like, my mom taught me to pay rent first. And I'm like, hang on a sec. I'm like, if I pay rent first, when do I pay myself? When do I pay my mortgage? When do I pay for all these other things? It's like, I don't think that's, what other advice did I fucking get given that's not very useful? And so it was really allowing myself to then think critically. I think another powerful thing a lot of people struggle to do is actually break up with their parents. And what I really mean by saying that is that as kids, we see our parents as gods. Like, dad's really fucking strong, or whoever our father figure is, and mum is super caring and don't piss her off, right? But as we grow up, we need to realize that they're just adults and they're fragmented like the rest of us. And then what we're able to do is then take ownership, like you mentioned, and move away from potential dogma that has been passed on through generations.
Yeah, and there's intent and actions as well. So they might have what might actually be a very good intent might manifest in a particularly bad or damaging action.
Mm.
And also there's a guy in this book called David Meltzer, who's actually the CEO of Sports One Marketing. So he was the CEO of the Lee Steinberg Sports Agency, who was actually the real life Jerry Maguire.
Right.
Amazing story. David Meltzer, he said to me that just because someone loves you might be a parent or a, you know, a spouse, whoever it might be, a family member, just because they love you, that doesn't mean that they automatically have the situational awareness for you to be able to make the right call in a given moment. Mm. So a big thing about Think and Grow Rich, which has continued to Think and Grow Rich, the legacy here with my book, is the unwavering self-belief of all these people. And that's not to be confused with Principle 9, which is the mastermind, like the power of the mastermind, because that is how you exponentially amplify your abilities. But you need to be very, very careful about the sources of opinion that you enable you to keep you on or knock you off course. You need to be very, very clear on where you're going. Have that unwavering self-belief and find people who can get to where you're going, not spending your time around energy vampires, I like to call them, who chip away at your dreams and your hopes and try to bring you down to their level, because you can't. It's like having your own business and trying to, Gary Vaynerchuk talks about, you'll never have someone who works for your business care about your business as much as you do, because
nor should they.
It's not their business. And Tim Story says, following your own dreams is like giving birth. It takes so long. You've got this dream inside you and you cannot expect other people to understand the unique feelings that you're going through. So it's such an important point, as you mentioned, around having that uncoupling process from people who might be a very significant part of your life, but you might need to create a little bit of distance around them, because at the end of the day, if you're not being true to yourself and following your dreams, you're going to be miserable down the track.
Yeah, absolutely. It's that sort of, that self-belief is so crucial. And I think so, a lot of the stuff that I love looking into, and I've found quite fascinating over the last, especially the last 2 years, to add on to a lot of the learnings over the last 10, ever since probably reading Think and Grow Rich, actually. That was really, for me, it was the first, you know, I look back on it and I'm like, okay, it's, I probably had other books that have been more influential, but they wouldn't have been influential if I hadn't read that.
Think and Grow Rich is very much the godfather of Napoleon Hill. Put all the things that he learned from interviewing more than 500 people into what he coined the achievement philosophy, 13 principles of success that anyone, irrespective of what circumstance they find themselves in, can apply in their own lives to achieve success as they define it. But what were the circumstances around you coming across the book?
I think at the age of nine, actually, I wanted to write a book. I do remember this now. I wanted to write a book, and I was speaking to, it's funny that you got action on your wall now. So I was speaking to...
subliminal.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I was speaking to my boss's coach, business coach, and he didn't have it for very long because he already knew everything. And I say that in the sense that he was very proud of that, right? And a reason why I say it's funny you have action on your wall behind you is that Brad Sugars, Action International, his coaching brand, they were the he had one of their coaches, and she's like, oh, I was telling you about this book. I wanted to write a book called Why, which is about the Y generation. This is going back obviously over 10 years. And she's like, oh, you should read The Passion Test. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, there's a bit of advice, I'll go do that. And I went and bought The Passion Test, and I still haven't finished that book either. I finished like 60 other books since then, probably more, but these two books that I, the first two of the three books that I purchased, I didn't finish. So I read that and I was like, oh, it's interesting, but it's not really what I'm sort of connecting with at this point in time. And so I just found myself at, I think, was it Borders? I think that was a big bookstore. Here it was, here in Canberra. And I was just looking in that section. And I think I had known of NLP through old mate Tony Robbins. And I just saw this book, Think and Grow Rich. I have no idea why I picked that up over other books. I have no, there's no reason that I can remember being like, that's a book I want to read. I'm like, we got to go. I'm like, oh, I'll just get these two. And I started reading the NLP workbook, which was actually recommended to me 10 years later, by the way. Then it was talking about camels and I got lost on what was going on. So I put that down and started reading this. And so that was how it sort of gained my attention. And then I read it faster than I ever read anything. At the time. And it was just because it was, as a young male, who was quite probably scattered, energetic, and probably really hungry for responsibility and to make a difference in the world. I think it was the right
way to prove yourself as well at that time.
Prove myself to myself. I think it might have been a prove myself to someone else, but it always, even the word improve is I prove, right? So yeah, I think there was definitely an element of that. And like I mentioned earlier, it's definitely top five books that I've read, but in relation to, it was the catalyst that allowed me to go, right, there's another world out here I got to investigate. And
that's That's the thing. Like looking at the copy of your book, you can tell that you've actually read it in the right way. And it's amazing how many people read it and they don't know how to read it properly. So Bob Proctor says 99% of people read Think and Grow Rich and it does nothing for them. But that's because they treat it like a novel or something else, where they read it once and they either read half of it and then put it aside never to be seen from again, or they finish it and then they put it somewhere else where they never see it again. But the people who get the most out of it, they sit there with a notepad and they write down a plan for action, and then a year or two later they read it again, and then a few years later they read it again, and they keep applying things. And Bob Proctor said to me, you don't notice something new in the book. You notice something new in yourself. And like anything in the self-help field, you can only apply to it your experiences to that point. So reading the book at 14 might be challenging for someone. They probably won't get a lot out of it because they don't have that life experience. But reading it at 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 as you go through life. And Rob Dyrdek, for people who don't know him, he was from Dayton, Ohio. So a skateboarder who became a professional skateboarder, was designing shoes, made a lot of money. And he had a very prolonged career in the entrepreneurial world. He's got a big venture capital brand now called the Dyrdek Machine. He owns so many companies. Stance Socks, for example, is a company that he owns.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he's in everything. He's in VR. He's in a whole heap of different companies. And he reads it every few years as well. And it's such a, it just helps you get clarity on where you are in life. To that point, it's not something that you put in a drawer never to be seen from again. And the number of people who I interviewed for this project who said just looking at the cover made them feel better, or it gave them hope, which have then, once you've got hope, that turns to belief that something might be possible, which then turns to even just a glimmer of action. It's so important. So it is a very, very powerful book on the condition that people know how to read it.
Yeah. Yep. I completely agree with you. There's a quote that I came across, which is quite funny. I've said it a few times on my podcast. It was the second time that I came across it that it actually resonated with me, which is, you know, very interesting, because the quote actually reads, no man ever steps in the same river twice, because the second time the river is different and so is the man. And I'm like, oh, I get it now. Yeah. But it's exactly the same thing with reading and you know, everything, listening to podcasts and all that. And I think that's such crucial advice. And to consciously wire our subconscious is one of the most powerful things that we have choice over doing. And by just putting good information into our either vision or in our ears or whatever, is so crucial for doing that over a decade and then doing that over two decades compared to the person that doesn't.
Definitely. And there is a large percentage of the population who thinks that you actually don't have any control over your thoughts. And I don't believe that to be the case. And I know that you don't either. We've seen the changes in so many people in our own lives around doing that. But that also goes back to things like how you control your living environment, your working environment, the people that you hang around with, what actions that you're taking day to day. Are you watching TV or are you reading books? What are you reading? Yeah, what are you watching? How are you spending your time? All those things dictate your thoughts, and then that will dictate your actions. So, yeah, it's a really, really important point around people who don't feel like they have control over their thoughts. Then you need to get very, very clear on what you want. Maybe that's by using something like the 5-minute journal, or just writing down three things that would make today a win. And three things that you're grateful for, and then mixing up your living and your working environment to something that inspires you, and surrounding yourself with people who have achieved the success that you want, and just doing exactly what they tell you.
Yeah.
I feel like doing those things would solve 99% of the growth questions and problems that people have.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing about, you know, what you're talking about there is that I know that there's some people that will go, okay, so if I can control my thoughts, then why do I keep having, you know, lack of a better term, negative thoughts? It's like, it's not about controlling every single thing that comes through your mind. It's about controlling what you believe to be true. And so you can have a thought that may be negative, but it's whether you decide for that to be true or not, which is how it's going to react in your life.
That's so true. I actually went and had an appointment with Dr. George Pratt after I interviewed Rob Dyrdek. So George Pratt is a clinical psychologist and hypnotherapist based in La Jolla, a town in California. And he works with a whole heap of celebrities and like Olympic Games athletes, whole heap of amazing people. And he was saying, these thoughts that come through your mind, just think of them like birds. Just fly. Don't worry about interrupting them. Just let them come through and let them pass. And then you sit there with your eyes closed and you think about what is holding up your brain right now, what's occupying it, these like what negative things, and just think of them like balloons and just let each one of them go up into the air. And it's such a powerful thing and such a great, a big thing that I like doing right now is before I, any situation that is important to me, including something like this podcast, I'll close my eyes for 1 minute, try and think about what energy do I want to bring into this and what outcome do I want out of that? And just really just take 1 minute for some deep breaths just to focus on just having a great energy and a great experience. And that very small exercise, which you can do 50 times a day, has such a ridiculously big impact on your life. It, where it comes to things like problems or potential conflicts that you might have in conversations, whether that's at work or at home, it enables you to respond rather than react. Because when you react, you're potentially escalating the problem. But when you're responding, it enables us to take a deep breath and separate our thoughts or our emotion from the issue to get a much better outcome.
Yeah. I love that. So then that leads me into a question of how has your life changed since creating the movie and also writing the book?
Probably. So for those who don't know, I had the opportunity to meet more than, what was it? It was about 25 people I interviewed for this project alone. So a whole heap of amazing people like John Lee Dumas. So he's got the Entrepreneurs on Fire podcast. Yep. So a big thing that I learned from him.
I read him in the Crushing It, Gary Vee book.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was early into the podcast day. So John Lee Dumas, his story, he was a military vet and then he came back from the Middle East and just wasn't sure where he fit into the world. And it was in his late 20s and he decided there was no entrepreneurial podcast that came out every single day. So he was the very first person in the world to create a daily podcast. And he did that for entrepreneurs 7 days a week, going on, I think it's 6 or 6.5 years now. And he's turned that into $16 million US in revenue. Like he's got all independently certified tax records and accounting records on his website, EOFire, that you can go and check out. But the biggest thing for him, he's very much a productivity master. So the big thing from him was around how you structure your day. When people wake up and they want that feeling of accomplishment, something that's an easy win for them in their own mind is to attack emails. But emails are like boomerangs. Every time you send one, the bloody things come back. So if you start your day with emails, you're never going to get to the end of it.
Yeah.
There's always more work to be done.
And
you can always do emails on autopilot. So he doesn't react to the day until he's achieved the three things that would make today a win. So those three things are what would inch him closer to his 100-day goals. And only after he's done with that, which might be 9 a.m., 10 a.m., 2 p.m., whatever the day is, only then will he react to the day, which is someone else's agenda for his time, which are things like email. So that really transformed things for me. So I have my morning coffee at about 8 a.m. And then that period from about 8 a.m. to midday, that's a very productive time for me, where I'll put my phone down and just work on the creation side that you use your brain power for. And then once you feel drained, you can run the rest of the day on autopilot. But there's a lot of things from all these different people, like from Janine Shepherd, who was hit by a truck. She was a national ski champion of Australia in 1988. She qualified for the Winter Olympics and she was hit by a truck.
And was she on a bike at the time?
There's been movies made about her and she's written a whole heap of books and got a TED talk with 2 million views. And so she spent 10 days in a coma, was told that she would never walk again. But the power of getting clear on what you want, where she said to herself, if I can't walk, maybe I'll fly, after she'd seen a plane fly overhead. So there's no way that she would become a pilot if she couldn't pass a physical. So for the second time in her life, she taught herself to walk again. So the importance of getting clear on what you want was such a powerful lesson for me. And then another really big one, which you would know from Lewis Howes and Grant Cardone, would just be the importance in investing in your personal brand. It is something that you want to, when you control eyeballs, you enable yourself to have a much bigger impact on the world. So if you've got a positive message, you need to build up as big a community as you can. So to do that, invest in your personal brand, get people excited about you and your story, which of course is your vulnerabilities. That's a huge part of your story. Mm-hmm. And then once they believe in you, they know that you're authentic, and then you can offer value to that community. Invest in your personal brand times 10 to really accelerate you and exponentially increase your abilities.
You just sounded like Louis Cardone. Grant Howes, you just said, that's great. So it's interesting. So I mentioned before, my book that's going through Publishizer at the moment, and it's called The Human Movement, which was actually birthed out of the idea of training for the zombie apocalypse, right? And they're like, no, we're in the zombie apocalypse because it's the food we eat, the drinks we drink, the drugs we take, pharmaceutical or not, and the way that we move or don't move, that's actually eating our own brains. So it's not like, you know, the living dead. It's actually, we're in it right now. How can we be more human? But that was my personal brand for a long time. I hid behind The Human Movement. And it wasn't until I probably did some more excavating of my own vulnerabilities or insecurities that I realized that I was actually hiding from it just in case it failed. And it was like, right, I need to get over that now. And so moving that aside was allowing myself to put my brand out there and then just be myself, because I realized hiding behind that brand, even though my gym hasn't got association with my name, which is how I want it to be and how I do want it to be, the hiding behind was always like a fail safe. And which also meant that I couldn't commit.
You've always done a great job of being able to release that content. What was the big moment for you where you stepped into that position where you could actually hold a phone up and do all those videos? Because it's, I think a big thing, first of all, for people is that they think that their story is not good enough. But every single person on the planet, what have we got? 7 billion people. Every single person has an amazing story. You just need to figure out the best way to package it. But I know you like, it's a confronting thing for everyone to stand in front of the brands that they would typically be behind for the first time. But what was your big key moment of when you made that transition back in the day?
So there was two things, going back probably a year and a half ago, really. Before that, it was, I didn't want to let my insecurity stop me from making a positive impact. That was probably early on. But then even that. Then, I still did. I was like, yeah, it sounds good. I'll just hide behind here a little bit. Hey, how you doing? And then like do this. But where it really sort of broke through was, I remember when one of them happened, and I can't remember when the other one happened, but my videographer passed away. He was in a car accident. I went to school with him. So we know each other since we were 14. And he was so patient. He was the nicest guy. He was just like, he worked at one of the schools here. He did charity work. When he came and trained, he would squat. He never trained, and he would squat like 120 comfortably, like just be like, oh, he just, and then sit down on the beanbag in between his sets, reading a fucking thick ass novel. It's just the kind of guy he was, writing a post and then go do BJJ. He was just this nice, gentle soul. And he had so much patience for me as I awkwardly stumbled my way through a lot of mistakes of filming. And he was so good. And then, he was in a car accident, a two vehicle car accident. And I did not really know how to deal with that, I suppose. And I was like, well, what would Alex want me to do? And he probably want me to go to the movies, but on top of that, he'd probably want me to, just keep going, like just get out of your own way. And so I decided to do a video a day for a year. Just to, I suppose, have some sort of legacy for Alex anyway. And doing a video a day for a year, like the first couple of times you're like, okay, all right, here we go. Let's press the button, red button. Oh, it's flashing. Where am I looking? Do I look at me? Do I look at the camera? Where do I look? And over time it just came like, no one fucking cares. All of the insecurities that I had about what potentially may happen was always thinking about the future, and it never was actually real. But having those thoughts and having emotions about those thoughts brought me into the moment with that emotion of things that never happened.
Yeah, and it's so weird, isn't it? A weird cycle. And those who care don't matter, and those who matter don't care.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had to awkwardly get better before I could get better. It's a whole, you don't know what you're bad at until you do it. And, you know, the consciously, what is it? Conscious incompetence, and then conscious competence, and then unconscious competence. So, yeah. And then I remember reading, I can't say her name off the top of my head, the Pakistani girl who got shot from going to school. I can't think of a name off the top of my head. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Spoke at the Clinton Global Initiative.
Yes.
I actually met her in New York. I forget her name. It's,
Amalia or something.
Yeah.
So either way, I'm sorry, I'm going to look your name up but, and make sure I know it for next time. But she said something in one of, and her story is profound. And she goes, I share this story not because I think it's unique, but I think it's more common than people realize. And I was like, wow, actually, that's really, really powerful, because the things that I've gone through, which are difficult, and people have gone through more difficult thing, but it's all contextual. It's like, no, no, I share my, you know, I would never call it a battle of depression, but I definitely went through this spiral that was, I definitely shook hands with the devil. There was that moment. I remember that as well. And it's like, I share this because it's not this unique, beautiful, oh my God, look at this one-off story of me. It's like, guys, like it's guys and girls. We need to make sure that these difficulties are communicated so people know that there's the other side.
Yeah, so definitely. And that girl whose name we can't remember, I remember a big thing that she, I do remember her message. One of the big things she said when I saw her, she said, instead of sending guns and weapons, send books, talking about how to educate these countries rather than going to war with them. And it was such a amazing point that someone who'd grown up in all this turmoil and experienced all that violence firsthand has this message of love and compassion and education, because she understands the role of informed people in just general peace and harmony. It's people who don't take the time to understand others or don't travel the world and they don't get to know people who are different than them. They're the ones who've got all these discriminatory beliefs. And as you mentioned as well, just following on from that, everyone goes through their own struggles. You never have any idea of what people are going through just because they look great on the outside, that they can often be hiding some kind of inner turmoil. And that goes through from everyday people right through to the biggest film stars on the planet as well. You've seen these people that have happened with things like suicide in the last couple of years, some very major celebrities who have got children and things as well. So I think just being, I don't know, a big part of things that I have tried to do is just get very, very clear on two things, vulnerability and purpose.
Yeah.
And I feel that once you have those two things, that creates authenticity. And if you can package that into your story, that is how you get people to believe in you. And once you have that, that inspires you every day to keep moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Funny thing about authenticity is I've been in this space before. I can't remember if I spoke to my coach about it. He's like, you don't try, right? Trying means you're not doing it. Like, yeah, okay. So trying to be authentic is like kind of trying to breathe. You don't try to breathe.
You just
breathe and you just be that and not fear judgment. I think that's one of the biggest things. It was for me anyway.
It's so true. And another really important point is just crafting that very own definition of success, which people just don't do. And even the people who do it, don't do it that regularly. So every January I sit down with, I have this success plan template. If anyone wants it, I can send it to you, mate. If you want to put a link in the show notes,
absolutely. Or
people can reach out to me directly as an editable PDF or an Excel file. You can just download, share it with the world. I just want it to get around. And I get emails now every single day from people requesting it because they've heard about it from different shows, and
right.
Which is great because it's starting to get out there. And that breaks down. The very first thing you do is you write down your perfect destination in all these areas of your life. And then once you do that, you then work backwards to creating the actions that you need to take in the next 90 days that are going to get you to where you need to be.
Mm.
And once you have that very, very clear definition of success, you know your mission and you know your values, the world will let you pass and all these people will just magically be attracted to you and your message. And that is how you can start living with inspiration. And you and I have felt the power of that firsthand. It is such a powerful, but very, very inspiring thing to do. But yeah, if anyone wants that, just reach out to me and I'll send through a copy.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll put that in the show notes for sure. And I dare say that I'll be downloading it. And
of course, mate, there's even a thing I actually saw the Napoleon Hill Foundation post. I'll be posting this on my own Facebook too. It was a thing from Bruce Lee, who was 29 years old, I think he was. It was in January 1969. And he wrote down his definite chief aim after he had read Think and Grow Rich. And that was for him to be the biggest Oriental star in Hollywood. And he wanted to have more than $10 million at all times. He was so crystal clear on that definition of success. And he died 3 years later. And think about his legacy now. He's the most iconic martial artist of all time. He was probably the biggest movie star on the planet. And he is, to this day, a cultural phenomenon.
Because he has
a crystal clear definition of success. That is the power of this. But if you don't even take the time. For people who email me and they say, I am stuck, and I say to them, fill out this success plan template and here is a guide on how to do it. Mm. 9 times out of 10, I never hear from them again. That's fine.
But if you
cannot motivate yourself to get excited around the possibilities, which are endless in your own life and all those different areas, whether it's the relationship that you have with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your husband or your wife or your children, what growth plan do you have for your professional development, what impact you want to have on the world, what travel goals, what experience goals. I even put materialistic things in here because for some people that's important to them and it's a nice reward. And but if for people who aren't even motivated to do that, then I don't even know where to start. But that's where in this book, Think and Grow Rich, The Legacy, I've tried to really get people inspired and excited by stories of these people who are in a much worse off position, which in many cases is immense physical trauma, like Janine Shepherd, who was hit by the truck, like Jim Stovall, who at the age of 17 was told he would go totally and permanently blind. Yet he went on after that to write 30 best-selling books while blind, and he hadn't written a single one before he was blind. And he also was the Emmy Award-winning founder of the Narrative Television Network that provides TV programming and media solutions for people in a dozen countries around the world who are blind or visually impaired. Yeah. There is no excuse for you not to achieve the success that you want. Yeah. People just don't take the time to create their own definition of success.
That's powerful, man. So I've got two things on that that I have questions for you. One's more so. We'll start with I'm going to ask you about your definition of success. I'm going to give you a few minutes to make sure you crystal clear on that one, which I already know you are. Anyway. But I want to talk about growth. You said growth a number of times there, and you said it a couple of times in this podcast already. And I think the word growth is almost what every single person wants. Even the person that's like already stubborn and you know, they already know all the stuff that we're talking about, all that kind of stuff. The question is not, do you have the capacity to want to get better? It's like, could you be better? Like, that's the question. Could you be better? And there is not a person on this planet that can say no. The answer is yes. And that's we need to keep asking that. It's like, okay, if I could be better, what would it be? But the thing with growth is that we want it, but we don't want the process off. Often we don't want the process to get there. We can sometimes neglect that growth is a uncomfortable, painful process. And if we aren't able to accept that and give ourselves permission to have the strength to move through that, then we don't want growth. We want what we think growth will give us. And it's like, you got to want the story, not the happy ending.
So true. Success only comes to the success does not discriminate. It comes to all those who do what needs to be done. And there are no bargains at the counter of success as well. It only emerges once you pay the price in advance and in full. So in this, the biggest lesson for younger generations now is that mentality that they want something for nothing, where it's just not the case. You need to start reprogramming your brain to have that bulletproof mindset to embrace the struggle. Pain, in a good way, not in a loading up the back squat bar too high, bad way. Pain means progress. And in the speeches I do, I actually have a whole section where I talk about the Navy SEALs, where with the whole theme of embrace the struggle, because they're the epitome of people. Like the Navy SEALs, they don't want the biggest, they don't want the strongest, they want the ones who want it the most, the ones who not only feel the pain, but it spurs them on to greater success. We're on the battlefield where the stakes are highest, mission success is the most important thing. And for people who can't even get excited about their own lives, it's very, very difficult. But that's what we're trying to do, is to start to reprogram that via this book and the film too. And I know that you try to do that with all your podcasts and all the work that you do too.
Yeah, it's an unfolding process. One of the biggest things that I that helped me try and slow down in order to actually play the long game, right? Which I was always sort of part of the long game, but success was always around the corner. And when I stopped focusing on success being around the corner, when I'm just like, no, just be and do what feels right. When I looked at every single person that I look up to, every single person that in a business sense or in a, you know, a speaking sense or in a writing sense, they're all over 40. All those guys are in 40s and their 50s. And I'm like, I'm 29 at this point in time, or 28 when I was thinking about this. And it's like, there's no rush. Just do the work, because you don't know whether you're going to be here in 5 years. You don't know, like Bruce Lee, if you take a
paracetamol, that's going to have a bad reaction to, and anything along those lines. It's like, so stop trying to live for a potential something that's going to make your life better in the future. It doesn't get better than right now.
So true. Use gratitude, daily gratitude practice. I know you and I are both very, very big on that. Use a gratitude practice to eliminate those feelings of stress and frustration and being miserable about comparing your own life to what other people perceivably have. And by doing that, it's a great way just to be thankful and appreciative for everything that you, doesn't matter who you are. Everyone has thousands of things that they can be grateful for. Mm-hmm. And when I interviewed Janine Shepherd, who has become a very close friend of mine, we talk almost every day now. And the feeling for her after she spent 6 months in the spinal ward, when she was wheeled out in an all body plaster cast by her dad, and she felt a ray of sunlight on her face for the first time in 6 months. She said, I've never been so grateful for anything in my entire life. I mean, how powerful is that? A simple ray of sunlight. To sit there and actually have a daily gratitude practice is a really great way of being thankful and just having a mental reset to help you focus on what you want and what's important to you, and importantly, come up with a plan on how to get it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's extremely powerful, and especially the gratitude side of things, because I remember when I first started seeing people talk about why you should do gratitude and gratefulness and all this sort of stuff. And I'm like, all right, I'll give this thing a try. And I sat there and it just felt so corny and wanky to me, right? And it's got nothing to do with gratitude. It had to do with me. But I reframed the question and I said, okay, rather than asking what am I grateful for, I said, what do I have in my life now that I once wished for?
And great question.
I'm like, wow. And that just provided all these answers. Yeah. And I'm like, holy shit, I'm the luckiest person in the world. And, you know, it was sort of like all of a sudden I started becoming grateful for the fact that the business that I took for granted, the friends that I took for granted, the partner, like, you know, the ability to like buy this stuff from Canberra, ask you to catch up, even though I wish I was in LA and we're at a New Zealand cafe again, because I don't know where the Aussie ones are. but it's like being able to do that. It's like, how am I missing this? And it's this continual chase of thinking that the next thing is going to provide happiness. And so it's so interesting watching and observing myself now, whether it be downloads on the podcast, clients coming in the gym, and it's like, all right, we'll get this number. And it's like, all right, we're getting there. Hey, we got it. And then all of a sudden that excitement dissipates into nothing.
Yeah, achievement is very, very fleeting. And you see that with all these big athletes. It's all about the climb, as we spoke about earlier. Like, who cares about the view from the top or what car someone's driving? Yeah. It's like all about that climb and what type of person you are right now. So, yeah, have you heard of the Jim Rohn quote that says, be thankful for what you have while you pursue all that you want?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have been able to word it back to you, but yes. And it's probably would have been like, it would have been millennialized if I said it. It's like, go through all the levels before you beat the boss, you know, something like that. But
yeah, it's such coming from a position of gratitude, but also having a very, like, a crystal clear definition of what success looks like for you. It's such a great productivity hack, for want of a better term, to help you feel like you're contributing to the world every day and making an impact.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've given you enough time. What is your definition of success?
Well, my big goal right now is to help 1 million people take ownership of their financial, physical, and mental health. But for those little individual, and that's been on my website for a long, long time now as well. About a year and a half ago, I drew a line in the sand and said, my life, I just love helping people. The financial, physical, and mental health piece have such big time, and that is what I want to do for the rest of my life. But this success plan template, which I've filled out, I have got my own one on that, and it's you know, it's covered in ink, and that is because just being able to print it out, and then what I do then is I set 90-day calendar reminders that pop up just so I can check in each time. And when you're doing that, it's just such a great way to get clear on it. So. Just to think about some things that are coming up. So I got married recently and I'm going on a honeymoon in August, and it has been a very big, it's been a lot going on in the 5 years that we've been together. So we're going to take a 4-week break. Awesome. And a big goal for me is actually just to be very, very present during that time. Whereas in everyday stuff, I could be up till midnight or beyond, or always glued to a phone or a computer screen, which is a very big sacrifice that my partner Jen has to make. Mm. So I want to be present on that. So that's an example of a simple goal coming up. And little things as well, like we want to have a family of our own. So we've got goals around that, and financial goals that we've set, a certain number of money in share portfolios and buying a house. And the next book that I have, I've got big plans. I've got ridiculously big plans for that one. And I don't know, there's so many different things going on, but I've got probably 50 things that are written down on that success plan template. But there's an interesting that happens when you start taking things out of your head. Well, first of all, you have the thought impulse, because every great innovation or achievement that you see in the world once started as a simple thought impulse. Mm-hmm. So once you have that thought and then you reduce that to writing, and wow, it just takes that step of like 10% further of becoming real, and it just stays in your mind a lot more, and it just inspires you and encourages you to put in the work every single day. So I think having that, just taking that time to really write it down, have a think about who are the most important people in your life going forward, not who you had a common past with, who are the most important people in your life going forward. Get them to fill out this success plan template. You fill it out and then catch up and talk about it. So Jen's filled it out. I just had a group. I was running a mastermind workshop in Iowa 2 weeks ago. They all filled it out, and we spent 3 hours going around the circle talking about what is important to each of us. And because the funny thing is, once you're crystal clear on your own definition and what other people want help. They just don't know how. So when they, for example, if you tell me you've got this book coming out, cool, sweet, I know what you want. Now I know how I can help you.
Yeah.
And we make it happen. It's getting clear on your own definition, sharing that with people who can help you get there. It's just such an important point, and a bit of the crusade that I'm on right now. People really overcomplicate the formula to success, but like anything in the gym or in fitness or in health, it's simple and consistent action wins every day.
Yep.
It's not one cataclysmic event. Yeah, and if you want to have one extraordinary action, apply that to creating your own definition of success. But then for the rest, focus on simple and consistent action.
Yeah, yeah. When I sort of started understanding to think macro and act micro. Otherwise, I found myself head in the clouds too much. And we go back onto your advice earlier in the podcast is I don't put any meetings before midday unless I have to. Like, so for example, I'm usually at the cafe reading and studying. And so unless I have a podcast or if I have filming or anything like that, otherwise I have no PTs. I'll work on the floor a couple of mornings a week. At 5:30, 6:30, but otherwise, yeah, none of that sort of stuff. The reason being is that once I've done that, I've realized that I can squish all my stuff in the afternoon that I don't have to think about too much about and get all my other work done in the morning. And that was one of the biggest things that I used to just be scattered on. And then once sort of applying that, I'm like, I wonder if that would work. I don't know. And then, but people want to see you at this time, yada, yada, yada. I was like, well, fuck, just see what happens.
And I can't imagine the impact on you, the reduction in stress levels from doing that.
Mate, absolutely. And it sets up my day. And so that ability to think macro and go, okay, well, what is a long-term projection here that I want to go in? And what are the short-term activities that I need to do? And it allows me to focus on every single day and just doing things as I go through rather than running on a treadmill.
So true.
That's not even plugged in. the best definition I've ever heard for success was by a guy called Jarrett Grossman. Then I did a little bit of work with Jarrett Grossman, and I don't know if he actually knows his definition of success anymore, but the wording, that he said was fantastic. And it was let me get it right. It said, definition of success was the magnitude of the beneficial footprint you leave upon society. And I was like, yeah, okay. The legacy in that, go back to the name of your book, right? The legacy in that, it's there. And it's like, well, that's correct. It's like, people don't talk about the money in your account. They don't talk about your fucking couch. They don't talk about your score on Call of Duty. They don't talk about necessarily your businesses or
expensive jewelry.
what your favorite food was necessarily. And this is what I learned at Alex's funeral, my videographer, and they said everyone talked about the memories that they had with him and how he contributed. That's all they fucking cared about. Mm. And I'm like, wow, at the end, that's all that matters.
Those so true. Things,
And it's just like, operate from that space and how does my life change? And it's fucking changed phenomenally.
Yeah, definitely. And when you have that understanding and appreciation that everyone's going through their own thing as well, it really does change your perspective. You get very, very clear on who you are and how you want to contribute to other people's lives. And it just, you naturally become a bit of a beacon or a lighthouse to help other people to start to take those meaningful and sustainable changes in their own lives.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think what I didn't understand for a long time is that I had to do that with me first.
Mm.
Right. It was like, yeah, that was one of the biggest things, is that when I stopped trying to pray in public and I started to focus on just doing the little things at home, so to speak, that's when it really made a big change. And I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah, it's like in the safety demonstrations on the plane when they say you've got to put your mask on first before you can help the people around you. So yeah,
absolutely.
If you're not walking the talk, then that's that breakdown of that authenticity and the vulnerability disappears that we spoke about earlier, which means people don't trust you and they don't want to believe in your message. And yeah, it's all downhill from there. So
absolutely,
yeah, agree.
So you, I know you've got a plane to catch. You're coming over to Australia today.
Very cold Australia. I'll need to rug up.
Very cold. Where about you going? Brisbane?
I'll be in Brisbane for 3 days, Sydney for 3 days, Melbourne for 5 days, and back up to Brisbane.
When are you in Melbourne?
Oh, it's the, what is it? It'll be Thursday. What would that be like?
The 28th?
Yeah, that'd be it.
There for 5 days then?
Till the Monday or the Tuesday, yeah.
All right, I'll be in Melbourne. Then I've got a seminar I'm running down there.
Oh, fantastic. There's a whole publicity team running some stuff right now for the book, so I'll have some more clarity on what's going on. But yeah, let's catch up down there for sure.
Yeah, perfect. So I do have a couple of questions before you shoot off, because I know you need to. I love observing high performers, right? From a perspective of going, what is their personality? What is their message? How do they do what they do? And usually high performers are actually just high productive people, right? They've got some sort of an obnoxious vision, which I think is a good thing. I don't think that in a naive way. It's more like they're obnoxious about, well, that's what we're doing. And then they're just productive moving towards that. So what's your, because you've got CrossFit Taurian, which is, I haven't been there yet, by the way. I plan on going to Brisbane later this year, but it's fucking epic from what I observe. It makes my Instagram look bigger, by the way. On my phone. CrossFit Taurian, you have BossFit. You've obviously got Think and Grow Rich Legacy. Like, I'm sure there's probably a couple other things in there that I'm also missing. Like, how do you fit everything in and you're in LA?
There's a lot to that around the sacrifices that I'm willing to make in the short term for the long-term gain. So an example might be when Jen said to me about 2 years ago, she said, hey, can we just have 1 day a week where you don't do any work?
Mm.
And I said to her, no, I can't, because that's 15% of my time. I can't do that. So, but around our wedding, that was an important time for me to say, hey, we've got a lot of friends. The wedding was in America. In April, we got a lot of friends and family coming to town. So it was important for me to be mentally present at that time. So that was where I can actually have a bit of a recalibration for that in the short term. And also want to have a bit more balance going forward. But you've got to put in the work. You've got to build up your, like a character in a video game. You've got to work on your stats and increasingly become a person of value. But also doing, it's a bit cliche, but just doing the stuff that you love. I love the sport of business and I love helping people regardless of what packaging that is, whether it's a gym, whether it's a social media brand providing motivational support, whether it's a book, an online course, doing speeches, a mastermind group, whatever that might be. If you love it, then it really doesn't seem like that much of a burden to go and do all that stuff. And I'm also, yeah, I will just never go back to the corporate world. I just don't really, it's just not the life.
You have too much personality for most of the corporate. Yeah. Mind you, those that do very well in corporate have a fantastic personality and they display it well, right? It's just whether they have the resilience to put up with all the people that don't.
And I've also got some very, very big goals, and I'm very, very clear on what they are and what work is needed in the interim to get to where I need to be. So I'm a very motivated self-starter as well.
Yeah, awesome. All right, then what's your one bit of advice for any person listening that is that's got their big goal, audacious, obnoxious, whatever it is, whatever ish is happening, what's your one bit of advice and they haven't started yet?
Oh, probably the biggest one. This is what I say is the most important slide I put up in every speech. It says, each day, if you do not make the decision to win, you have automatically made the decision to lose.
Yeah, okay.
So when you think about that, today it's human nature for us. We naturally gravitate towards doing what is easy, towards doing what is lazy, instant gratification, scrolling through news feeds, watching TV for 5 hours at a day. So each day, if you are not crystal clear on what you want, what winning looks like for you in all areas of your life, and you do not take daily action towards those steps, then you have automatically lost. And you think about that almost like a fork in the road, over extrapolating that over time, where you will be in those different areas. So each day, so get very, very clear on your definition of success. And then each day, make the decision to win, or you've automatically made the decision to lose.
Yeah, awesome. And the last question I have for you is, because this is inevitable, you come across hurdles. What does a hurdle mean to you? Like, each person has a meaning for a hurdle, right? So when I say a hurdle, just to clarify, I mean something doesn't go as planned. So how do you deal with that hurdle? What does it mean to you?
It's an opportunity for me to prove how badly I want it. And I've had a lot of random things that have come up. Like when I go back, the day after I get back, I do an annual MRI because I've got this spinal tumor, which doesn't affect my day to day stuff or anything like that. It could at any time. It might be tomorrow. It might be 10 years down the track. But
right.
That to me, it was only when I dwelled on it, then that was when I lost about 30 or 40% of energy in the gym. But when I thought, you know, hey, we only get one life. I don't care what is in my back or what's going on. I'm just going to go as hard as possible and live the best life I possibly can. And any adversity that I face along the way is just an opportunity for me to prove how badly I want it. Especially when the people that I have spoken to now, like Janine Shepherd and Jim Stovall, it doesn't matter whether you're literally hit by a truck or told that you're going to go permanently blind. There is always a way for you to have a ridiculously big impact on the world, on the condition that you can just come up with the right plan to make it happen.
Awesome, mate. I absolutely love that. Firstly, thank you very much for jumping on the podcast and giving me your morning before you fly to Brizzy. And secondly, where can everyone find out about the book, the movie, and everything else that you do?
Best place is probably my website, jameswhitt.com. So JameswHitt. Mm-hmm. You can actually get a free download of the bonus chapter from the book. That's on the website as well. And you can also subscribe to my mailing list there. And that's probably the main spot. But you can also find my page on Facebook as well, which is just facebook.com/JamesWhitt. And yeah, there's a whole heap of different content out there as well. So if I can be of any service to help change people's lives, let me know.
Love it, mate. Until next time, or hopefully next weekend, actually.
That'll be good. Sooner rather than later.
Yeah, indeed. Otherwise,
think Melbourne latte.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Yeah. Canberra does actually have a fantastic coffee culture. I don't know where to go in Melbourne yet. So I'll have some locals point us around. Actually,
for sure.
Do you enjoy whiskey?
I can, for sure. Oh,
fantastic. I'll let you know. I'm running a seminar at the same building complex as Starwood Whiskey Distillery. So
nice.
So
I'll do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Indeed. All right, mate. Until next time, thank you very much again. And I'll put all those notes in the show for you.
A pleasure, mate. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure.